to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I've spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built, and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you're here, especially if you're new. But let me let you know, we're all new. I'm new. I just got this microphone. I don't even know if I'm using it right, but we're going to do the best we can. I think it's going to be a great time. I wanted you to know our very first guest is my friend Brina Holt of Garment Collective. I am not going to lie to y'all. This is a sad story, so please prepare yourself. But our story is also jam-packed with evidences of God's faithfulness, his presence with us, and his overarching goodness in our lives. I can't wait for you to hear Brina's story, so let's get started. Hi, Bree. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to have a cup of coffee in a quiet house. We have, like I was telling you, my husband's been out of town, and I'm not an animal person. I'm not anti-animals, but I'm not. They don't do anything for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't wish harm upon them.
Right. I'm
anyway.
On that.
Okay. Yay. Because I feel, like, heartless sometimes.
No.
Like, you know. But it seems like, and it seems like it because it's what's happening. Every time my husband goes out of town, some animal emergency happens. And like this last week, my dog got fleas. The whole house got fleas. We had fleas. It was so ridiculous. Well, this week, my Dr. Doolittle story is someone straight up threw a kitten into my backyard. And I didn't know. I just thought, oh, how random that a kitten's in my yard. But when I saw the Purina kitten food bag that they also put outside the back gate to make themselves feel better about throwing a kitten in my yard.
Oh, I've never heard of such a thing.
You know, and I called animal control because I'm like, what do I do? Like, I'm allergic to cats. I can't pick cats up. Yeah. My dog is not a fan of cats either. And anyway, so it just... Then the cat got stuck really high up in the tree, and I thought,
because you read stories like that.
I know, right? And so I called the fire department because in the storybooks, they come
That's
with
right.
a ladder.
Yes, they do.
They don't in real life, and they thought it was pretty funny that I called. So
they had a good laugh, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, it's just nice to be on the phone with a grown-up and no animals around me. Right.
And he's coming home soon?
Oh, you know what? It's just in like 5 more days.
Oh, just so. 5 more. You've already done 2 weeks, so you're good.
Yeah. Whoa. Wow. Anyway, so tell the listeners about you.
Well, my name is Brina, but eventually people end up calling me Bree, so you can start by calling me Bree. That's fine. I am a pastor's wife. My husband and I have planted, believe it or not, 3 churches, and we're on our third, and this is very clearly... what God is just, I mean, he's clearly in this and it's going to be a good thing. The other ones had to shut down eventually just for different reasons. One was my son's sickness his illness, mm-hmm. his diagnosis. But this one, it's like just really happening and it's thriving and it's just really exciting. But so I'm a pastor's wife, a church planner's wife. And then I have four children, Cyrus, and he's 9, and Isley, she is 7. And then we have Ezekiel, we call Zeke, and he is with Jesus now. And I'll share about that in a little bit. He was 4.5, and that was on March 23rd, 2014 that he met Jesus. And then my youngest is Bexley, and she is going to be 4 in 2 months. So, and I also, well, as I used to be just like a stay-at-home mom and do my thing with the littles, but another part of my story, and you'll hear more, is just that I own a clothing line. It's an ethical clothing line, and it's called Garment Collective. And basically, women from Nepal are being rescued from trafficking, or they're at risk for trafficking, and they're being brought in. They are taught the art of sewing and being treated really well, paid well. We don't just come out and usually say this because you have to be careful, but they are Christians that are doing this, and so they are they're giving them opportunity to want to learn more about Jesus. And no one has said no, because they just can't believe how well they're being treated. And so it's really exciting what's going on. Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned Zeke, and you were saying that just, he ties into all the stories that you tell. And so please, like you said earlier, when we were talking before we started recording, it's a mom's worst nightmare. So for the listeners, I just would caution you, this is some hard stuff. But, and as I was thinking before we started talking, I have this problem. I cry more than the general population. I got that from my mom, honest. And when the wind changes direction, sometimes I just cry. And so for you to be one of my first interviews is kind of not good planning on my part.
We can cry together. I always think I'll be fine, and then I end up crying. So it's all good.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, then you start talking and I'll edit out all my whimpering if I can. Okay.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, as I've been putting together, even just in my mind at this point, I'm going to be speaking at a few different conferences and I'm going to be sharing our story. I think what God is wanting me to start with is just my idolizing motherhood. Like I said, I was 3 years old and I said, when I'm 18, I want to get married and I want to have kids. Mm-hmm. I want to have 4 kids. And so my whole life, that just in me, it was stewing. And it wasn't about raising little souls for Jesus. It was about, I want 4 kids. Now, you're so young, and, you know, over time, you know, but really that never really changed until I had them and I realized, okay, this world is so broken. I need to do that. And so I'll start off with just, I was Cyrus, my firstborn, he was 2 months old, and God gave me this very vivid dream. And this is the first time God has ever spoken to me through a dream. And throughout our story, he's continued to do that in just a few different times. So I had never really heard about God speaking through dreams other than in the Bible. But in this dream, I'll just say that he was showing me what my heart looked like. And I was basically trying to protect my son, Cyrus, from him. And I said, you better not. I know you can, but you better not. So my heart was basically, he's mine. I know that you could take him, and I don't want you to. Now, I will say my mentality on God was basically that if something comes into your life, suffering, or you have loss, it happened. And so it's clearly a part of his will. And I don't believe that anymore. I truly believe that the world is broken and disease and sin have entered in, which causes things like death and disease and suffering to happen. And so I was wrong about God's mentality. And he showed me that, like, he's not out to take and steal. That's the enemy.
Right.
So that was where I was at that point, though. Now, fast forward 3 kids with Ezekiel. Well, I guess all 4, because he was born a very typical child, believe it or not. He was my first walker. He was, did everything on time. He was awesome. It was when he was 2 that he lost his speech. And so we were like, is this autism? We weren't sure, but basically after speech therapy, the speech pathologist, she was amazing. She came in every week and she was like, listen, he's going to be fine. He's progressing. He's learning. the milestones that he should be. So don't worry about it. And I would just worry every week. It was like there was something in me saying something is not right, my son.
Okay.
So talk about anxiety constantly. And that's when a few songs were very prominent in my life during that time. And one was J.J. Heller.
I love her.
Yeah, she's so gosh dang cute and talented. But I don't remember the name of the song, but it's like it's about your like we're basically in God's hands.
Oh, yes. I know that song.
Yes. And it's older, but it's just so, it was so good for me because I was holding my kids so tightly in my own grip, in my own imperfect grip. And God was saying, hand him and all of your kids back over to me. Like, let me show you my love for them. Because I knew I loved them like crazy and it was hard to comprehend that and to really, truly just give them over to them, to him, whatever that meant. So Zeke started at 2.5. He had his first seizure and it literally threw everyone off. No one saw it coming. The speech pathologists were like, what's going on? This is not a good thing, you know, because a few weeks prior to that, he stopped, like he would forget what he learned that week before. And so there was significant regression going on and we couldn't explain it. And then he had the seizure. And so they were like, oh my goodness, something might actually be going on.
Okay.
So my mama's heart was, at the same time that God was showing me, like, let me like trust him over to me. I still was anxious. It was a journey.
Yeah.
And so he had his first seizure and it was at that point, obviously praying that that would never happen again. God's healing over him. But then he had another one a month and a half later. And they got progressively closer. And not only was I dealing with his health declining, we had planted a church and we didn't start off with a denomination or like financial assistance. It was, hi, we're going to go plant a church with these other couples. And it was just doing its own hard. It was just hard. The ministry, that was just a hard time. And then on top of that, the hospital we were working with in our area, without bashing them, they made me feel like I was crazy. They're like, he's not having seizures. These are not seizures.
Oh my goodness.
So I was calling them. Why are his eyes rolling back? Well, honey, that's what happens when kids are tired. I'm like, okay.
Oh my goodness.
This is one of four kids. I know what kids look like. So I was fighting that for over a year. And then God finally brought me to a new doctor who then took me to a new neurologist and eventually to Cincinnati Children's who, night and day difference, just amazing. So God just kept me from getting his diagnosis. I truly believe he put a literal block somehow in and was like, you don't need to hear this from them. It might take a little longer, but I want you to be in hands of people who love me, first of all, because the doctor ended up loving him. And so basically what was happening in my life was ministry hardships at the time. And Zeke's health was declining and we had no reason. There was just, I was being told, you're crazy. This isn't happening. And then I have three other kids that I'm trying to love on and deal with. And with Zeke, it was almost like, so he was falling. He was no longer able to stand steady. I mean, he used to run and jump and kick. And those were all just slowly being taken from him. Basically, what Batten disease does is it uncreates a child. You have a child and you think they're normal and then they uncreate them. And so after a year and a half of just, oh man, I mean, I'll just be honest, our marriage, I wasn't sure we were going to make it. It was so, so hard. So we were 2.5 hours away from family and it was August 30th when we had been sent over to Cincinnati Children's of 2013 that we got the diagnosis and it was your son has Batten disease. It's a rare neurological disorder. There is no cure. He will not get better no matter what you do.
Wow. What was that like? Was there any relief in finding a name to it or really not?
It's weird to say, and it's funny that you say that. There was relief to it because I had been fighting for a year and a half and I fought with, obviously meds, but I was doing a ketogenic diet and I was doing like completely whole foods. Like I was crazy because he was worth it. I was going to do anything I could. And so getting that diagnosis, it was like, oh, okay. Mm. And so there was this kind of relief. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my son.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do. And that trip was just supposed to be a treatment for his for his seizures, and I ended up being by myself with him and hearing it. And the doctor was so sad that my husband wasn't there, but he wanted to do it in person. We were traveling an hour and a half to go there, so he just told me, and he was so, I mean, he came over to me, he was holding Zeke. I mean, it was just as good as it could have been. I say God stopped me from hearing it from these other doctors, because they were just, they were cruel, honestly. So I was just very thankful, you know, in the, and you can still find thankfulness in suffering. And so that is one area where I just felt God's hand there. So at that point, I think there was some denial for sure. You know, just believing God could still heal him, which he can, like, I'm not going to take that from God, but that wasn't going to be his story. His story was going to be healing in heaven. And so we just, like a week later, I think we ended up going, well, we had planned going on vacation with my family, and we went to the beach, and Zeke just had a really bad week. And, my family got to see firsthand what I had been dealing with, because again, they were 2.5 hours away.
Yeah.
And so they, basically said, my mother called my mother-in-law and said, we got to help her. This is crazy. She can't keep doing this. And, it was good to hear kind of their thoughts. They didn't say it that directly, but I went to my husband and said, I have been doing this. This is all I've known for 2 years. I can't do this anymore by myself. And so he finally came around to agreeing, and we sold our house very quickly. And we moved 2.5 hours back home to Toledo, Ohio. And we lived with his parents while Zeke made his way to heaven.
So you're living with the in-laws, and you had mentioned this was just really hard on your marriage. What did that look like?
Yeah, well, you're both trying to fight for your kid. You're also fighting for your other kids in a very different way. Again, my husband had to close down the church plan that was his dream. That was hard for him. So there was just, I just felt like we were down and we were still being kicked by the brokenness of the world. Just, So it was, and then my son, Zeke, he slept like a newborn for probably a year and a half of that time, where his body was just being uncreated by this disease. So we weren't sleeping well. And it just was like, I don't know if we're going to make it, you know, kind of thing. And
yeah,
but we, by the grace and mercy of God, and for us just saying, we're going to fight. We are still together and doing well. And we just celebrated 10 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. So I was reading some of your story on your blog, and you were just saying that at first you were fighting to keep him, and then that slowly God just kind of, oh man, I can't even talk about it, just helped you, you know, let go, and start, your prayers changed to praying that he would just go on to heaven, because you saw the suffering. Like, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, so you're seeing your son suffer, and again, he was once running, walking, even talking. And at this point, we moved to Toledo, and we were just trying to keep him comfortable. There was constantly seizures, so there was constant chaos. So that meant a lot of TV. There were just like three videos that he liked to watch. Daniel Tiger, Cars, and Thomas Misty Island Rescue. So those are sweet moments with my other kids, because they were able to just be with him and watch those too, because they don't mind screen time.
Yeah. Who does?
Right. He was bedridden about, I would say, a month and a half into it. It was like, he's just hurting himself all the time. We just need to put him in a bed. And so that was some relief. But God had given me another dream throughout this. Well, there was one right before it happened. It was just kind of a dream that something's coming. Trust me. And then there was another dream throughout it. And I think it was still in the chaos of not knowing what was going on. And he showed me, he took me through this, I would say it was almost felt like an obstacle course. The first one was just this wall of gel. I don't really know. And he was like, just follow me and trust me. And I looked up and I said, okay. I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to breathe in here, but okay. And then I ended up making it, I guess you could say. And then the next one was this huge, gorgeous wall of water. And I looked up and he was like, you can trust me, follow me. And so I dove in it, and on the other side of it, I'm dripping wet. Now I'm looking at myself and I see a glowy form. So I don't know if that would be the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to call it out, but it was God in some form, holding on to Zeke. And Zeke was a year and a half older than what he was at the time that the dream came. And he was smiling and he was standing and he was completely clear of disease. So mm-hmm. God was saying he will be healed. Now, I took it as a mama, like, okay, he's going to be healed on earth. God's going to do this awesome thing. And that's a good thing. I mean, we should believe those things. But eventually, like you had said, we realized, like, God is going to heal him. It will be in heaven. And he's going to get us through. And he did. And so our prayers began, Lord, take him home. It was like I finally trusted him enough to take my son. I finally got to that place where having him in my arms was not my number one goal. Like you want with your kids. And it was a beautiful but hard lesson to learn. And now, you know, I don't idolize my children like I used to. And I do not believe that we need to learn that lesson by going through what I have. And I do not believe that most people are going to go through something like this. Mm-hmm. But I want to use my story to tell women, like, God loves our sweet babies that we love so much. So much more. And our goal here on earth is to raise them into the Lord, to show them what it's like to live with, you know, the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we're going to do it imperfectly. And that is okay because there's grace and we can tell them about that too. But just like with Zeke, I don't have to pray for him anymore. I don't have to pray for his little soul. I don't have to cry out, Lord, may he follow you all the days of his life, because he's home. And there is relief in that. There's this crazy, weird relief. It's almost twisted, it feels like, because I would love him to be here. But that's not his story. He's there. He's home. He's made it. So.
Yeah. I saw that your husband had written, because he is writing a book, or he did write a book.
He is. It's a process. It's been a process because of all the moving we've done. But he is writing a book, sharing this story.
Mm-hmm. On the page, it said that Zeke's with Jesus, and I'm jealous of them both. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really powerful.
It is. It's very true, because it's like Jesus gets to be with our Zeke. Well, Zeke also gets to be with Jesus, and it's just, it's a very powerful and true statement.
So I watched in amazement, basically, as you gave the eulogy at his funeral. Wow, girl. I was so moved and thankful that you took the time to basically share the gospel with these people. And I'm just amazed at God's goodness and the strength he's giving you. And as an outsider looking in, it really helps me to think, you know what? Like, God gives the strength we need, because what you did was basically unthinkable, you know, and you did it.
Right.
And I think you, if you saw someone else do it, you would think the same thing.
Totally. Completely. Yeah. I began to see people, whether it was just online or hearing stories, it was like basically their eyes were the size of quarters and their mouths hung open as I shared the goodness of God through it all, because they didn't understand. Because usually, typically, people will blame God, because you want to blame someone. And I went through that for a short time. I started getting very angry at God. And then he showed me, like, I'm going to be the one to get you through this. So don't run from me. And so anything you saw, any strength, yes, that was totally God in me. And I just saw it was God was using his story to share himself with the world. And that has completely transformed me. And anyone that comes into my life, God, how do you want to use me? I want to share you with them, because I've walked through, you know, the darkest times, and I have this hope. I want them to know about it too.
Now, speaking of that, I was going to ask, I know his birthday is 11/19 and Ezekiel 11/19. Tell me, which came first, the verse? Was he named because of that, or?
No. So I wanted to name my firstborn son Ezekiel before I even met my husband, because I loved it. But our firstborn, we found out it was a boy, and my husband had found Cyrus, and he said, I just feel like we should name him Cyrus. And I fell in love with it. And he's like, but if we have a second boy, let's name him Ezekiel. So I was game. And in my head, I'm like, I'm totally having a boy. I'm going to have another one. Like, I knew.
Yes, because you're having four, because you planned it.
A boy, a girl, a boy, and a girl. It totally happened that way. Don't ask me. And so, my mom thinks it was after he met Jesus. I think it was a little bit before, but she was like, did you ever look at his verse? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, Ezekiel 11:19. And then I'm going to have to look it up, or I'm going to butcher it unless you.
Oh, I have.
Okay, go ahead. Girl.
And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will be my people, and I shall be their God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we saw Ezekiel's life doing that for people. People have found Jesus because of him. And I think some people that haven't yet but heard our story, I'm not going to put a limitation on God now that Zeke is, you know, with Jesus now. I just know the story is still continuing to touch lives. And whether it be through Garment Collective or, I don't know, people just remember it, it's pretty powerful. It's still doing mm-hmm. those things. God's using it to transform lives. And that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So tell me about Garment Collective and how that came out of everything that happened in Zeke's story.
Sure. So totally always wanted to be a designer since I knew what one was, a fashion designer. But I never went to school for it. Basically, all the money. And I just didn't. And so I met my husband young and we got married young. And, you know, the other big dream of mine was to get married and have four babies. So that's what I did. And mm-hmm. as they were little and they were taking up all the time, I just thought, that's gone. That's long gone. Well, after having blogged through Ezekiel's story and finding that God had given me a gift to write, somebody contacted me and said, hey, I have friends out in Nepal. And they basically told me what was happening. Would you want to design clothes for them? And I'm like, are you kidding me? God, are you serious? Like, this dream I thought was totally wiped out and gone. I had given up on it, although it kept surfacing in my heart and I would feel this desire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is right in front of me. God, you are literally taken such a broken story and you're bringing such beauty out of it and redemption. And it wasn't just in my heart and my family and my desire and my dream. It was through Zeke's life, which he was redeeming, and the women out in Nepal, their lives they're redeeming. So Garment Collective's tagline is redemption for all, because I believe mm-hmm. God is out to redeem all to him.
So tell me about the ladies in Nepal. Like what's going on over there?
Well, they had, I haven't gone there before, but that's my dream to go there as my first mission trip. So I Skype and talk with, she's very American, but so I don't actually get to see these women, but I get to have updates and, I get pictures. They're doing well. They did have a very devastating earthquake out there. But none of the girls that work at our manufacturer, they were not harmed. Their families are okay. Still very devastating. But so I hear more once in a while, they'll tell me stories of just the Bible studies and how they're so hungry. And the men also that work within the manufacturer, they're hungry. So it's really exciting to see Jesus being shared to them.
So you design the clothes and then they make the clothing, they get a fair wage, and then you sell them to us.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So I pay them in full before they even get sent over. Once they're paid, they send them over. And then off of my website, garmentcollective.com, I sell these shirts for profit. At this point, I'm putting probably 95% back into the business because I really truly want to have a decent amount of garments for women to choose from and to say, I want to shop ethically. You know, I want, especially when they hear the story of the redemption these women are living out, you know, just having an opportunity for you to go to one place and say, this is where you can go kind of thing. So this fall, we have 5 new designs coming and I'm really excited.
When is considered fall? October?
Or? Yeah, this October is when it's going to happen. Again, the earthquake I had some designs for spring and summer. It just didn't happen because of the earthquake, and that's fine. But I have, you know, I am selling the Redemption for All t-shirts, which people love, and I love that they love them because I love them.
I know. They're wonderful. I haven't ordered one because I can't decide which one I want. You know, it's like,
I know. There's some good pictures people are posting of both. So that has the Ezekiel 11:19 tag on it, which I love too. So this is going to be probably just my favorite forever. But I do have I have a dress coming and a skirt. And so it's not just going to be a t-shirt line. There are different garments coming. And that will be, we're thinking mid-October.
So okay.
Very exciting.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Yeah, me too.
So good. So I would just want to ask what you would tell a mom who is, you've seen beauty come out of this just crushing grief. Yeah. What would you tell a mom who's in the middle of a real sad grieving process right now, if you could tell her one thing?
I think, first of all, because there's different stages throughout. I was one person at one point, another person at another in my faith. It's just to be true to where you are and continue to meet God where you are, because he can handle it. He can handle it, whether you're still anxious, whatever you're, wherever you are, go to him as you are. Don't pretend you're anything else. You might not be able to do that with, I just say humans, because we are human. After a while, it was like, no human words. I mean, they're fine on some level, people, but when you are going through that kind of suffering, even my own husband's words, like, okay, but in the end, I need to hear from God, because all y'all are not making me.
You're not cutting it.
I'm not even from the South, but that's what I feel like I need to say. It's like, you don't want to not have friends, and you don't want people to feel like they can't say anything. That's like, you don't want that. But at the same time, just know in the end, God is going to be my comfort. He is my rescuer. He's the one that will bring healing to the child or whomever it is in the end, even if it is in heaven. And there's just no one else that can bring that kind of peace. No words can meet you where God can. He gets so deep in your soul that the only thing that you can be fed from are his words, whether it's through music or through reading God's word or through prayer, however it is. And don't feel like you have to. I just kept hearing things like, get in God's word every day. Well, guess what? I couldn't every day. And so whatever I had done in the past, or just listening to music that was Christian, music that was uplifting, sometimes that's all I could do. So don't put pressures on yourself. Yeah. I mean, I could say a lot, but just God will be the one that can handle your burden.
How do we help as a friend? You know what I mean? Like, what was helpful to you? I mean, obviously saying the pithy statements, then those are not helpful. You know, I was just listening or reading Shauna Nyquist, and she just said, you know, just say something. Say, I don't know what to say. You know, just make words come out of your mouth instead of nothing. Right. Would you agree with that? Or what was helpful to you?
Yeah, I think it's different for every person, for sure. I'm not going to pretend that there's one thing. But for me, it was just nice when I knew I had friends that, even though basically their also worst nightmare was unfolding in my life, they were there to listen, and they didn't say things like, you know, God, you know, I'm not even going to go there because some of them make me angry. I mean, like, really angry. Try not to say things that make you sound like you're super spiritual, even though you're not really trying to do that. Just meet them where they are, make them meals, help get their cars washed. I mean, silly stuff. Somebody paid for someone to come and clean my house. Stuff like that, where when your world's crumbling, it's very hard to get just everyday stuff done. And so, and sometimes they might say, I don't know, I've got it. Can I bring you a meal? Can I take your kids, your other kids, you know, just think about what they can't do any longer. Like, it was hard not being able to give all my kids the same attention. And so, having my other kids be loved on by other people that weren't even family was such a blessing. And there were only a few friends that I would really open up to, and just them listening and crying with me and not feeling like they had to fix me. Because in the end I would have told them, like, sorry, this isn't, you know, it's just, for me, it was humans could only go so far. I needed that time with God. And I also, every Saturday, my husband gave me the whole morning to go out and just, I called it my staying sane Saturdays. And I would just go to the farmer's market, my favorite restaurant, whether with a friend or by myself. And I needed that time. So provide opportunity for your friend to be a person, not just a mom suffering with whichever way she is.
Yeah. I was going to, and I forgot about this, but I wanted to ask you quick, like, how did you walk through the grieving process with your kiddos? Like, how did you process that with them?
So we were very, very open with them. At first, we were praying out loud daily, every night, for God's healing. We told them, like, God is healer and he can heal. So that's where we were. And then as I would cry in front of them, like, people like, oh, you can't do that. You know, honestly, it's good. I can say, guys, I'm sad. Or, you know, I just would tell them what I felt, and they would feel like, okay, I can do that too. And so sometimes we would cry together. And then eventually, just so we carried them, we talked to them when they heard the diagnosis, they were sobbing. And these little kids, but they got to see our faith lived out, and we didn't cover and sugarcoat things. We did it, you know, in a loving, gracious way. We didn't just say, your brother's going to die. I mean, we did it in a very gracious way. And God it always came back to God, and that he is good and he is caring for our family, and he loves mm-hmm. Zeke, and he is in his hands, and he's mm-hmm. going to rescue him. And for them, it was, you know, talking about death. It's like, what does that look like? And it's like, immediately, guys, as soon as he is gone mm-hmm. from our world, he is with Jesus. And that brings them a lot of comfort. And it's nice that that's truly, it's just true. Like, he's...
Yeah, it's not just a happy story exactly. so that people don't feel sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how are they now? Like, I'm sure he comes up a lot in conversation. Do they have questions? How does that look today?
Yeah. So we continue to speak about Zeke. And if somebody's feeling like they're sad, we go there. We just go there. It's just crazy. I look at them and I think how strong they are, because my faith wasn't even close to where theirs is at such a young age. And I praise God just for the hope that we have and that they have. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So some days, I mean, we are in a place in our life where we have very little suffering right now. I'm talking, God has blessed us with an amazing church family that, you know, our church plant, a new beautiful home, great neighborhood back in the city we wanted to be in. So at this point, it's just a time of rest and respite. Yeah. And God is just pouring out so much earthly blessing. Can I say that? I mean, because sometimes that's the case, and it's just easy right now on so many levels. And so they're kids now that, you know, it comes up and that's fine. And he's a part of their story. There's very little time of weeping or anything like that, but it happens. I would say every couple of months we just get it out, we talk about him, and then we have his birthday and then the day he met Jesus, and so we make those a big deal and we go there with and talking about him and stuff. So they miss him, but they also live out that hope they'll get to see him again.
I love that.
Yeah,
well, girl, you've been through it. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for, I'm so glad you're speaking at conferences. That people need to hear this, and I'm thankful that you're willing to share. Oh,
thank you so much. This was so nice to do this. I love sharing our Zeke story.
Yes. And how can we support you? Just go buy a shirt when we can figure out which color we want. Is that the best thing to do?
That's so funny. Every shirt that is bought is providing more opportunity for my business to grow. And it's not just my business. It's so much more than that. It's these women, it's jobs, it's doing amazing things out in Nepal. And so, if you love the t-shirt, which most people do, go buy one. Tell your friends, follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, Garment Collective.
And I'll have all that in the show notes.
Sure.
We'll put links to that. And I'll figure out that JJ Heller song. I think it's just called Your Hands, but I'll put a link to that too.
And the other one was Natalie Grant, Your Great Name. Just two songs that really, I don't think I mentioned that one. Just two songs that God really used.
That's great. I'll put that in there too. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being here. I just think the world of you. Oh,
thank you. So fun.
All right. Well, we will be talking to you soon. I don't know how to end this podcast yet. It's so awkward.
This is awesome. This is great. Good for you.
Thank you so much. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Thanks, Brina. Bye.
Wow, right? Go check your makeup before you head outdoors anywhere, because if you're an ugly crier like me, you kind of look like a mess right now. I hope you are as encouraged as I am that we really can trust God to make something beautiful out of our tragedies. Romans 8:28 promises us that. A couple things I wanted to let you know. Brina has generously offered a coupon code to listeners of this podcast for her brand new fall line that's just releasing this month. And so if you head over to garmentcollective.com and put in the coupon code MOMSTRUGGLINGWELL, all one word, MOMSTRUGGLINGWELL, you're going to get a discount on your new fall Garment Collective items. So go do that. And also, if you wouldn't mind heading over to iTunes and rating this podcast, it would help other people, other moms who are struggling, like we all are, to find us and get some encouragement. So I would love that. I would love to hear what you think. I would love to hear from you on Twitter, on Instagram, at Mom Struggling Well. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you're as encouraged as I am. Have a great day.